3. Clumps of tiny green apples grew along branches that curled and jerked and reached far across the rows of the orchard, as if the trees were trying to shake hands with each other. Underneath, the grass was so high it fell over on top of itself. Past the orchard, a dirt paddock stood vacant against one side of a 2-story red barn. For as long as I could remember, I'd wanted to get inside that barn. And now, here I was, standing across the road from the place I'd drooled over since I was big enough to see out the car window. And I was too scared to move. What if everything people said about Mr. McMurtry was true? Or worse, what if he'd tied his family up in his basement? What if he caught me spying and told Mom? Maybe the girl had only been my imagination. Maybe I was crazier than I thought. No, she was real. She'd wiggled her finger at me. Even I wasn't that crazy. I took a deep breath, tugged at my shorts, darted across the road, and walked past the empty paddock, sniffing for any hint of a pony. With a barn and a paddock, there must have been ponies at one time. Fat, snowy ponies with manes that fell to their knees and backs that sunk like cushy sofas. But not even a tuft of hay rolled by. At the top of the driveway stood a red mailbox. No name, only a crooked black number 7. I resisted the urge to straighten it. Spindly lilacs lined a gravel driveway, and a jumble of wheat-type stuff covered what used to be a yard. Peering around the corner of the barn, I squinted and studied the place I'd coveted for so long, listening for the sound of someone lurking nearby. Silence. No sign of a human. A path of flat blue stones led to partially buckled wooden steps and a covered front porch. I was so close, a few strides away from ringing the doorbell and asking for the girl like a normal kid would do. If I were a normal kid. I could navigate the subway to and from school by myself, even in the winter when it's dark at 4:30. But the idea of walking up to this house and asking for a girl, a plain old girl...